Now, among the various topics, among the various subjects dealt with in the tantras, in the tantric literature, in this sort of way, there is what we call the mandala. Mandalas are described, dealt with in the tantras. So therefore we come back to our first question, what is a mandala? Literally, a mandala is a circle. The word means just that. Some writers on Buddhism call it a magic circle. But this could be rather misleading. It depends, of course, what one means by the term magic. Perhaps the best short description or definition of the mandala is as a circle of symbolic forms. A circle of symbolic forms. And there must be, in a complete mandala, at least 5 of these forms. And they must be arranged in a certain way, in a certain pattern. There must be one of these symbolic forms in the center, in the middle, and there must be one at each of the 4 cardinal points. In this way you get 5. Now the symbolic forms are the forms of various Buddhas, various enlightened ones, and various bodhisattvas, beings on their way to enlightenment, personifications of various attributes of enlightenment, and so on. In other words, these symbolic forms are what I described last week as archetypal images. In all these mandalas, the central symbol, or the central symbolic form, the central archetype, represents reality itself. Or rather, within the context of the mandala, we may say it is reality itself. And the other 4 symbolic forms distributed at the 4 cardinal points, these represent the 4 principal aspects of that reality, or the 4 principal aspects into which it is, as it were, split up when you try to break it down a little. So this is the basic scheme of the mandala. 5 symbolic forms, 5 archetypes, Buddhas, Bodhisattvas and so on, arranged in this particular way, in this particular pattern, 1 at the center and 4 at the 4 cardinal points. There are, incidentally, many other features also of the mandala. For instance, the symbolic forms, whether 5 or 8 or 9 or 24, as sometimes happens, whatever the number, they're all placed within a square enclosure which has 4 gates. And this square enclosure is again placed within a series of 3 concentric circles, circles of flame and so on. What all this means we shall see a little later on. Meanwhile, let us take a closer look at the symbolic forms themselves, the archetypes themselves. As we've already said, these are forms, figures of Buddhas, Bodhisattvas and so on, and there are a number of different sets. Corresponding to different mandalas, in fact several hundred different sets, but all obeying, all following the same basic scheme. Some have got 5 figures and others more, as I have said. The basic scheme, however, always remains the same. The central point radiating in the 4 main directions. Now, the Chinese have a saying that one picture is worth 1,000 words. So I shall try to paint, as it were, a picture of a mandala. Now I'm going to take the simplest, in a sense, of all the mandalas, but also, in a sense, the most important. And this is the mandala of the 5 Buddhas. We've encountered these 5 Buddhas before. We encountered them last week when we spoke on the Tibetan Book of the Dead, but we had to content ourselves with just a brief reference to them, almost in passing. For today we're going to go into this question of the 5 Buddhas and the mandala of the 5 Buddhas in somewhat greater detail and try to actually paint a clear and vivid picture, as it were, of them. Now first of all, the first of the 5 Buddhas, Varochana, the illuminator, the white Buddha. Secondly, Akshobhya, the imperturbable, the dark blue Buddha. Thirdly, Rasnasambhava, the jewel producing, the yellow Buddha. Fourthly, Amitabha, the infinite light, the red Buddha. Fifthly and lastly, Amoga City, the infallible success, the green Buddha. These five Buddhas represent the five principal aspects of Buddhahood. In conceptual terms, they represent the five wisdoms, each Buddha being associated with one particular wisdom. I'm afraid it's a point which rather adds to the confusion, but one finds that in different schemes, in different contexts, in different traditions, different Buddhas are associated with different wisdoms. So one Buddha is not invariably associated with a certain wisdom. It depends upon the general context, the general mandala, the spiritual tradition, and so on. But there are two or three more or less standard patterns, and we're following just one of those this evening. But we should realize it's not an invariable one by any means. Each of the five Buddhas is also associated with a particular direction, particular point of the compass, particular color, a particular emblem, and the mudra or gesture of the hands. So let us go into all this a little more in detail, a little more systematically.